Bible Girl podcast. I'm Jessica Robinson, and I've gathered my Bible, my journal, some study tools, and highlighters in every color for study time. From the practical to the inspirational, I pray that these podcasts give you the tools and motivation to be a Bible girl too. Greetings and salutations. Welcome to today's episode. We are talking Bible reading plans today as we wind down our discussion of the Gracebook series. We are finishing up with a couple last-minute things these last few weeks. And today we're going to talk about the differences between reading the Bible and studying the Bible. And then I'm going to give you a few places to go to find good reading plans. And then we're going to talk about a couple little disclaimers and warnings at the very end of this podcast today. So I'd like to start by just talking about the differences between reading and study and why it's important to include both in your time with God and in your Bible and prayer time. I think it is important to include both. And how you do that, we're going to talk about in greater detail at the very last episode, where we talk about putting all this together. All of these episodes that we've had, we're going to kind of put it together in something that I think is going to be really fun. And I hope that it's going to clarify a lot of things that we've been talking about in the past few weeks. So in looking at reading and study, I'm going to give you a little overview of their differences, first of all. When you read scripture, you're generally reading larger sections than you are when you study. Because you're digging deeper into a passage, you take a smaller section when you study. And to get everything that's out of it, you really need to kind of focus your lens onto a very small portion. Whereas when you read, you're reading a larger portion. So the actual number of verses that you're reading is probably much higher each day than you would if you were actually studying a verse or a passage. And this helps us understand the next one here, because when you read, you get the big picture. You get the scope of scripture. You get how specific events work into the events that took place before them and after them. You get context in a greater way than you do sometimes when you study, especially if you're doing a topical study. You don't get the context the same way. When you read passages, you get a big bird's eye view of what's going on. When you study passages, you get the details. Neither one is more important than the other. They're both very important. In fact, I think a lot of the problems that we have interpreting scripture are because we're trying to just study passages here and there instead of really digging into the scope of scripture and reading it and in big chunks and getting an idea of the overall themes of scripture. And then when you begin to study, you break those down. And so I think that it's important to keep in mind that you're getting, when you get that big picture, you're getting something that you don't get through study. Study doesn't often help you see the big picture, because you're looking at all the individual trees, and it's easy to lose sight of how big the forest is and the direction that the forest goes and the scope of it. And so I would encourage you to include both reading and study into your time, because they both have a benefit to them. There is something with each of them that you're not going to get from the other. Also, reading takes less time than study, even though you're reading more verses, because you're just reading them. You're not asking what the words mean, or you're not outlining them. You're not trying to look up the Greek or the Hebrew. You're not reading commentaries. So you might be able to read 3 and 4 chapters in the same amount of time that you might study 3 verses of the Bible. So it's going to take less time to read a section of scripture than it will be to study that section of scripture. And reading focuses or puts a higher emphasis on knowledge, just learning the facts, understanding the facts of the book and what the author is trying to get across. You learn all that through just reading. That gives you a knowledge of the book. But an interpretation, what does that verse actually mean? What does all of those facts mean? What is their significance? And then also the application part is often done better, or more of the emphasis is on those two areas when you study. So you see why these are two very different types of things. Over the years, I've tried a lot of different ways of incorporating reading and study. I will say there have been times in my life where it's been very helpful for me just to read. Maybe they are times that have been emotionally difficult or mentally difficult or challenging, and studying God's Word has seemed a little overwhelming to me, and so I just read it. But that doesn't satisfy the hunger that's in me to know more about God's Word, and I continually come back to studying after those seasons change and I'm able to return again. It's always such a welcome relief to get back into study of God's Word. But if I only focus on studying, I find myself before too long beginning to miss other types of scripture. If you study a book, you might be in it a month or 2 months or three or four or six, depending on the size of the book and how deeply you study. And during that time, that's the only scripture you're getting, is that one part of scripture. And I began to hunger for other things. I wanted to read from the Psalms, or I wanted to hear a story. If I was studying an epistle, I wanted to broaden my view a little bit into other things. Also, if you're only studying in those small passages and that's all that you're doing, it's easy to miss how Scripture interacts with each other. Because if you're not just generally reading Scripture in other capacities, you don't see those themes being shown throughout other books as you're studying. I can't tell you how many times I've opened up a Bible reading app to follow along with the reading plan and found that today's reading has a verse in it that really helps me understand something that I was studying just a day or two before in a completely different passage. And so by reading, I found there's a good synergy between reading larger portions of Scripture on a regular basis and then taking some time to study them or other passages a little bit deeper at another time. So how that works for me, and I'm going to just very briefly just give you a sentence or two to explain it, but when we wrap it up at the end of this series, I'm going to go in greater detail about what I use and how I do it. But I generally do both, and I do reading every single day, 7 days a week, as much as I can. Do I skip a day here and there? Yes. Do I beat myself up over it? No. Do I feel like I'm a failure when I skip? No. And you shouldn't either. I make every attempt to do so, and some days it doesn't happen. Some days I'm weak and tired, and some days I'm frazzled and distracted, and other days life happens and it doesn't work. But for the most part, I strive to read God's Word in sections of Scripture every single day. And then I try to add in about 20 to 30 minutes of study 5 days a week. I generally would do that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday. And those are kind of my study days. I try to fit in a half an hour. I'll explain how I do that and how that works at a later time. That study passage currently is different from the passages that I'm reading in the morning during my normal reading time. This will all make better sense to you when you get a look at my Grace book and as we talk about putting it together, which is the episode that I think I'm the most excited about doing. I have some interesting resources for that, and I'm going to be doing some videos to go along with it, and a lot is coming on that, so it'll make better sense then. But basically how I do it is I focus on reading at a certain amount of scripture every day, and then I try to study 5 days a week. That would be very different for you, and we'll talk about how in a later episode about how you can plan something that is doable for you, how you stretch yourself without overcommitting yourself and setting yourself up for failure, and we'll give some tips about that in a couple of weeks here. So now that you know the differences between reading and study, where do you go to get good reading plans? A lot of people will just open Genesis and start, and we've talked about this before. I don't feel like that's always the best option. It's not a terrible option, but for a lot of people, just starting at Genesis and reading, you know, straight through the Bible is a little more challenging than they might first have realized. So what I suggest that you do is, if you just want to do it on your own, I've said this before, I recommend you start with the book of Luke. Then you go to the book of Acts. Those were written by the same person. Luke wrote the book of Luke and the book of Acts. Luke talks about Jesus and what he did on the earth, and Acts talks about the church and how the disciples and the apostles used the teachings of Christ to begin a movement, a revolution that spread throughout the globe. And you'll see that in the book of Acts. And I think that's it's a book that really fires you up. And then I suggest going to the Old Testament and reading 1 Samuel. I think 1 Samuel is an introduction to the life of Saul and David, and there's so much in there, so many stories that are thrilling and exciting, and you see God at work just putting people in positions and giving them the ability to lead others and bring about God's will. And 1 Samuel is just a great book. I think if you're brand new and you just want to start reading, you can't go wrong going from Luke to Acts to 1 Samuel. Now, with that said, many of you would like more structure than that, maybe something that would help you know how many chapters to read each day or verses, or maybe you want the community aspect of following along with others. And I do think that there is something to that, being able to study or read with someone else in whatever amount of study or reading that you're doing. It really does help to have some people that kind of go along with you. So for that reason, the first thing I would recommend is that you look and see what your church offers. I've talked about this before. I think that the best place that you can start is with your own people. There's something about being able to sit around a table, someone's kitchen table, people that you share life with, whether it's your own family or your friends or your small group at church, or maybe a few coworkers that all love God and want to read His Word, and to be able to talk and to share about what you're learning. If you're all reading the same plan and you get together once a week and talk about what you're seeing there and how God is speaking to you, those things can be the difference between sticking with a plan and dropping it. So I encourage you to start there. Start at your church. See what they offer. The church I go to, we offer small groups, and we do a reading segment with our small groups that shows up in the bulletin every Sunday. We call it the Engage. The Engage has one passage that we dig into for study, and that passage is always something that kind of intersects a little bit in some way with the sermon on Sunday. It either takes it a little deeper, or it talks about maybe a part of the passage that we didn't get to cover in the message. And so the verses that are there are verses that you would read, and then there are study questions, and you would work through them, and then you would bring that to your small group, and we would discuss that in whatever group that you're in. But at the bottom, there's also a bunch of verses that say for additional study. These are verses that go along with the theme of the study for that week, as well as the sermon that was preached on Sunday. Your church may offer the same thing. Many churches offer reading plans in their bulletin or on their website. And the good thing about that is that there are many others in your church that are doing it, and they can be an encouragement and a motivator and an accountability partner for you with those. So I would encourage that you start there. That your church may also offer studies, but generally I would say a study group isn't really going to give you the same depth of scripture that you want in a reading plan. Study is going to be much smaller. So see if your church offers reading plans, and that would be a great place to get started. I have a bunch of other suggestions, and I want to say before I go into these that if you go to the podcast page, which is BibleGirlPodcast.com, along the sidebar, if you're on a laptop or a desktop computer, or at the very bottom, if you're on a mobile phone or a tablet, you should see a list of pages that are on my podcast page. Currently, there's only one additional page, and that is for Bible reading plans. If you click that link, it opens up and it gives you all of the plans I'm going to mention today. And if you click on each of the plans, it will take you to the website where you can see them for yourself. I wanted to give you an easy way to look these up. If I type them in the show notes, which there are no show notes for today's episode, if I were to type all these into the show notes, it probably would, you would have to copy and paste everything into web browsers. And if you're using a phone or some kind of tablet, that's not as easy as it sounds. So I thought I'd make this as easy as possible by putting them somewhere where you had direct links so you could check these out for yourself. One of the first places I recommend is YouVersion for the breadth of reading plans. I think they're the best out there. I would encourage you to check that out. They have a big list of timed plan, so it will be like a year of this or the 1 year plan for women or, you know, whatever it is. They have a bunch of ones or 6 months in God's Word or read the whole Bible in 90 days. And then they also have lots and lots of topical plans or plans that cover a certain section of Scripture, like read all the Gospels this year or something like that. Many of the plans are as short as 3 or 5 days, so you can kind of jump around to topics. Some of the plans are a little short. The current plan that I do, I always have a plan going that I just kind of read first thing when I wake up in the morning. And oftentimes, you know, they're just, it's like a little devotional and one verse. That's not what I'm really talking about when I'm talking about getting the scope and big picture of Scripture. So if you're going to use YouVersion, try to stick with a plan that reads several chapters at a time. Also, another good place to go is one of two very popular places on the internet for women to read God's Word, the Proverbs 31, verse 5, and She Reads Truth. Both of those offer reading plans on a consistent basis. I would encourage you to check them out. They're a little different in tone. I would probably recommend She Reads Truth over Proverbs 31, not because I think one is necessarily more doctrinal than the other, but there is something special about She Reads Truth. To me, I think their emphasis on Scripture is a little stronger. For instance, if you get the plan or you use the app, they have a smartphone app that you can use to read each day's reading. The Scripture is front and center. When you open it up, you read the Scripture first. In the first five app, it's really easy to actually skip over and just read one verse and read the devotional. If you don't notice that there's a little link that you can click to read the whole chapter, I think a lot of people probably don't do that. They probably just read the opening verse. Once again, that's not a problem. That's certainly fine. And if that's what you want to do, that's great. But when it comes to reading for a scope of Scripture, reading that one little verse before the devotional isn't really what I would call Bible reading. That's devotional reading, which we're going to talk about that in just a moment. She Reads Truth and the Proverbs 31 verse 5 app are both available for apps on your phone, tablets, and both of them, I know She Reads Truth for sure, you can subscribe and the plan will be emailed to you. And you can do that on YouVersion as well. So you don't even have to go into the app or go to their website. You can read it directly from your email. Another good place to check out on the web are the Navigators. They have three reading plans that I think are excellent. One of them is called the 5x5x5 plan. This plan gives you it's like 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week. I forget what the other five is. But basically what it is it's 5 days of reading. So you have 2 days a week that you don't have a reading scheduled. This is really good for people whose lives are a little chaotic and are not as structured as others. So that if you have a crazy day and you don't get to it, well, you still have another day. You can pick that extra day or two up and when you need to. It's also short. It just reads through the Gospels or the New Testament throughout the year. So it's shorter passages. And it's a very doable plan, especially for beginners, I would say. It goes book by book. So you are reading, you know, one entire book of the Bible before you go on to the next one. And I think that's very helpful. Even in its shortened structure, it's not as long as many other plans. I think it does give you a good scope because it takes books as a whole instead of jumping you around. Also, the Navigators have two other plans. All three of their plans give you grace days, which is nice. Some give you a few more than others. I think one of their plans schedules 25 readings a month. So you have a few extra here and there. And another plan only schedules, I think it's 6 days a week. So all of their plans do give you a grace day here and there that you can catch up or take a breather and read something different. Which I appreciate because that constant day in and day out is not always doable for some people in the structure of their lives. There's also the one-year Bible. You can just pick up one of those at your local Christian bookstore or on Amazon or ChristianBook.com. You can buy those and the Bible is already laid out for you. You just read, you know, day one. Many of them are labeled by the date. So you would start, you know, Genesis Matthew and Psalms and Proverbs on January 1st, and then you would read until they're done, and eventually you work your way through with reading four different sections of Scripture every day. You'll read the whole Bible in a year if you just stick with it each day. There's a reading for every single day. That does make the reading slightly smaller than some other plans that only work on 5 or 6 days a week, but it also means that you don't really have any time to catch up. If you fall behind, you're behind. Remember, there's nothing inherently spiritual about completing it in a year. The goal is to be in God's Word as much as you can and to read it. If it takes you 13 or 16 or 21 months to read a one-year reading plan, I think that's okay. But people that are easily discouraged will find plans with the grace day helps them keep on track a little better than those without. You can also find one-year New Testaments. Currently, every once in a while, they come into fashion. And over the years, as I've been talking about Bible study and teaching it to people, there have been several types of one-year New Testaments that have come out. Currently, the only one that I can find on Amazon is one for busy moms. So I guess those of you who don't have kids or maybe who aren't a woman at all aren't interested in reading the New Testament in a year. Some of that kitschy kind of covers kind of drive me crazy. I think that pretty much anybody would appreciate a one-year New Testament. It doesn't have to just be a busy mom. But if you don't mind the cover and don't mind that it's geared toward mothers, even though it's just the same scripture that's in a Bible that's not, then those are good options for you. You see my little soapbox I get on there sometimes. The next thing is something you probably maybe even have access to. A lot of churches stock these at their info desks or their literature tables or stands, and that is the daily bread. Now, we're going to talk in just a second here in the little disclaimer section on the difference between a devotional reading and a reading of scripture. So you want to be a little bit careful about these, but there are two options for you in the daily bread. At the very top where the date is, it gives you what you would read if you're trying to read the Bible in a year, their Bible reading plan. And I actually kind of like theirs. The traditional Bible reading plan goes through four passages. They give you a psalm and a proverb every day. And then they give you something from the Old Testament and something from the New Testament. I don't really like Psalms and Proverbs being broken up to be like that, where you're only reading like three verses from the Psalms at a time. I think the Psalms should be read. I think there's a lot of poetic beauty in them and a lot of theology in them that's missed when you just read two or three verses at a time. That's not to say that that's not okay. I just personally, when I see that in the one-year Bible, I don't like the breaking down of jumping around to four different passages just to get those couple extra verses in the wisdom books. Here in the Daily Bread, they offer two readings and they jump around. So for instance, let me look at today's the 25th. You would be reading Song of Solomon 6, 7, and 8 and Galatians chapter 4. And then you're going to jump into Isaiah tomorrow in chapters 1 and 2 and Galatians 5. So you're reading about three chapters if you follow that plan at the top. But then there is a reading that goes along with kind of the devotional. And that reading is in a little box into the side of the page. And it says today's reading. And that reading is a smaller section of scripture. Sometimes some of these look like many of them are between six and 10 verses, maybe even a few that are a little shorter than that. And here's one that's 13 verses. So these are smaller sections of scripture that go along with the devotional. But you can use the daily bread. So many churches and organizations stock these on hand. You can read them online. They'll send them to your inbox. They may have an app. I'm not entirely sure about that. But I do know that they will also send you a paper copy. You can contact them and they will send it to you for free and send a little envelope donation along, and you can just send in a donation if you'd like to support their ministry, but they will send you a copy of the book for free. Those reading plans are also on their website. They also have a different reading plan that I was a little unfamiliar with called Our Daily Journey, and they also send out My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers, and you can get those emailed to you as well if you check out their site. For those of you that attend mainline Protestant churches here in the United States, you may be following the Revised Common Lectionary. And if you do that, your churches often will print them in paperwork that they hand out, or maybe on your church's website. They often have books. The Book of Common Prayer lists the verses from the lectionary. There's also a website that I have on the Bible reading page that gives you the readings for each year. And what's really nice about that is you can actually subscribe to it in your calendar, whether you use Google Cal or iCal or whatever calendar app you use. You can sync, you can subscribe to their calendar so that every day's reading shows up right in your calendar. And that's kind of a handy thing for those who attend a lot of the mainline Protestant churches here in the U.S. and in Canada as well. And this probably would be international as well. I know that here in the United States, Lutherans and Methodists will use the lectionary scripture readings, and well, actually, many of them are tied toward what the pastors or ministers are preaching on Sunday. I recently started reading a little bit of the reading plan from the Revised Common Lectionary because I purchased a month sample of a planner that used the reading as part of its planner. And I didn't care for the planner at all, but I did enjoy the readings. I liked some of the ways they did them. I like that you're reading a psalm repetitively. You're reading it 3 days. You're reading it every day for 3 days, and then you skip to a new one. I like that the Old and New Testament passages and even the psalm often kind of speak to each other and kind of reflect each other in what they're talking about. For instance, the psalm I read talked about how God provided for his people. And that day I read a passage in the book of Exodus about God giving them manna. So I like some of the how that works together. There's some reasons why I don't attend and have never attended a more Orthodox mainline church. So the concept of using a lectionary and someone preaching from that is new to me, but currently I am enjoying using that plan and have been doing it for just a little bit at the moment, and I probably will stick to it a little bit and see how it goes. It goes through 3 years. It's a 3-year plan, and so you kind of work your way around different sections of scripture. And for someone like me who has read a lot of the Bible a lot of times, I like how it's laid out because you kind of jump around a little bit, but yet you still get context. For instance, I was in Exodus for 3 or 4 days in one passage, and you kind of got the story and how it played out. And then you go to a different passage, and you kind of get several days in that passage. And so it's a little bit of variety in a way that a lot of reading plans don't have. So I like that. I'm not sure that I will stick to it for 3 years, but I am going to currently, that's what I'm currently trying out. And you can check out that lectionary from the link as well. If you're feeling overly ambitious, I recommend the Professor Grant Horner's system of reading the Bible. The link to that will explain it in greater detail, but let me just say he reads, his system has you read 10 chapters of the Bible a day. It's pretty ambitious, but you get through a massive section of scripture very quickly, and you read one chapter from 10 different sections. He has the Bible divided into sections. So you're reading something from Acts every single day. You're reading something from a gospel every single day. You're reading something from an epistle every single day. Something from a major prophet, something from a minor prophet, something from a history book. Something from the books of the law, something from a wisdom book. You're reading prophecy. And as you do this, you're reading one chapter a day, but each of the sections are very different. So, for instance, your wisdom section is long because there's 150 chapters in Psalms alone. But Acts is only about 40 chapters. So you're reading Acts over and over and over again as you continue to read the other passages. And what that does is it helps you see the interconnection of Scripture. Because if you were to follow this plan and you were to read it over the course of several years, all of the chapters, as you reread them, as you go back through each list, are going to line up with a different reading in the other passages. And you're going to start to see connections between Scripture. I did this plan for a while, and I really loved it. I can't say enough great things about it. But I will also say that it is a bit daunting. 10 chapters a day is really difficult for a lot of people. And you really have to be determined and stick to it. But there are great rewards if you're willing to try it. Specifically, people who don't understand how the Bible works together and how something that maybe was, you know, written thousands of years before something else, how there is cohesiveness and unity to them. And I would encourage you, if that's something that you're interested in discovering, that this plan might be a good one to try for a while. Another option that you can do is use your own study Bible. Most study Bibles out today, not devotional Bibles, but an actual study Bible, will have at least one reading plan. Several study Bibles have more than one. I know that the ESV Bible has reading plans in it. The She Reads Truth Bible has a reading plan in the front of each book of the Bible, as well as I think they have a more complete plan at the end of the Bible. Don't quote me on that, but I think they do. Many study Bibles will contain reading plans that you can follow. And that's a good place to start. Those are free and they're very user-friendly. You don't have to know how to have an app or figure out a website or something. You can just open up to those each day and check the passage off as you read. One last thing, and I almost hesitate to mention this, but if you go to Pinterest, you can probably type in Bible reading plans and find a wide variety of plans that are out there. You have to use a little caution. Just because it's on the internet doesn't mean it's a good thing, and just because someone else used it and raved about it doesn't necessarily mean it's a good plan either. Just because I recommend something doesn't necessarily make it good. It's the same with anyone else. You need to use your own judgment and you need to rely on the Holy Spirit for yourself to guide you to what He wants you to study and what He wants you to read. And so I think, you know, Pinterest can be a great resource, but I also feel like you need to approach it with keeping the main goal in mind. Which leads me to just a couple little warnings I want to give you before I close this today. The first one is that a devotional is not a study of the Bible, and it is not a reading plan. Now, devotionals can include reading plans, But then it falls on the reader to make them a Bible reading resource and not a Bible teaching resource. So there's a lot of places that you can go to on the web, and you can find people have they've written little Bible studies, they call them. But when you get it and you look at it, you realize that there's one verse that they've written at the top, and then there's their thoughts. And to really dig into that and to study the Bible, you're going to have to go and do that part yourself. And it's the same way when it comes to a reading plan. If it's just giving you one verse at the top and you're kind of glancing over it and reading what the author has written, you're not really doing a reading plan. You're just doing devotional reading. I want to be clear on this. I do not have a problem with devotional reading. I don't think that's a problem. In fact, I do devotional reading myself. I usually do that in the evenings before I go to bed. I certainly don't attempt to do deep study of the Bible at night because generally my brain's just not up to it. Especially as I get older, I find that, you know, I need to do that earlier in the day. But I do like to end my day with my thoughts focused on God. And so I'll use devotional reading book. And that may have a verse of scripture in it. And I would read that and then read the devotional. Those things are certainly appropriate to do in many times. But devotional reading is really more of what someone else has studied and seen in God's word. And you don't want to live on a diet of what someone else has already studied. You want to be able to study for yourself, and you want to be able to have the Holy Spirit guide you to what he wants you to see. And so when you read and you study God's word, it's important to make sure that you're doing that on your own and that you're not constantly just living off of a diet of what I call spiritual junk food. It's good. It's sweet. It has its place, you know, but it is not meant to be the meat that feeds you. And so relying on other people's study and other people's summary of what they learned from God can be kind of a dangerous dependence, because before too long we're getting all these things that we've learned and yet they really don't connect with our hearts because we haven't really dug into them on our own and been changed by them. I want to say this again, I don't have a problem with devotional reading. But I don't think it's enough. It can't be enough. God has things to say to you that he wants to say in his word. And if you're going to read someone else's summary statements as your entire time in God's word, you're going to miss out on so many things that he has to say to you. So make sure that your reading plan, when it comes to reading, is really focused on scripture. Make sure it's reading a decent section of scripture. I would encourage you to find plans that read at least half a chapter or more when it comes to just strictly reading. I think a chapter or two is probably even better. The other warning that I have for you, just to kind of keep in mind, is when it comes to reading plans, have a plan for the days that you skip. I think it's important to acknowledge from the beginning that we are human and we don't always have complete control of our circumstances and our environments, and that many times things happen we didn't anticipate. And so as much as we might have good intentions, we can't always follow through on them. And it's important to have a plan ahead of time to know that if I don't get it done, then I will do this instead. We're going to talk about that once again in greater detail when we get to putting it all together. But when it comes to reading plans, there's two ways that you can do this. The first thing is choose a plan that's already prepared for skipped days. I mentioned several that do that. I know the She Reads Truth plans and the First Five app also give you weekends off where you're not reading big chunks of scripture over the weekend so that you can catch up a little if you fall behind. If you proactively choose a plan that gives you those days that you can catch up, I think you'll find that it's a little bit easier to stick with it because you don't get discouraged when you haven't completed a plan and stayed on track. But another way that we can do that is we can have a plan for whether we're going to catch up or whether we're going to pick up. And what I mean by that is if you're doing something, let's say that you do the She Reads Truth plan and they're currently reading, I think they're getting ready to start Esther, so they're reading Esther. If you skip day three, okay, you need to know in advance, am I going to read day three on day four and just continue to read each day? Am I going to read day three and day four on day four so that I'm caught up? Or am I just going to pick up? Am I going to skip day three and just jump into day four? I think all of them are valid options. I think that a lot of them are going to depend on the kind of person that you are, how structured your life is, and how easy it is for you to get discouraged. But I think you need to give thought to each one of those options and see which one works for you. We'll talk about this over and over and over and over in the podcast, but I feel very strongly that the small thing you can do consistently is better than a big thing you only do once in a while. So when you decide what your plan is going to be for your skipped days, you need to ask yourself, what is going to keep me from getting discouraged and giving up? And if you're going to get discouraged if everyone else is further along in the plan than you, then you need to just pick up and just jump into the right day, even though you've missed a few days, so that you stay on track with everyone. If you're the kind of person that's going to get discouraged if you aren't caught up, then maybe you do need to try to read two or three days reading in one day. If you're the kind of person that really just easily gets discouraged and wants to do this consistently as best they can, I would recommend that you just take as long as it takes. If you skip day three, do day three on day four, and do day four on day five, and just keep going that way. Just do the consistent thing each day that keeps you from getting discouraged and moving forward. I don't know your life. I don't know who you are or how you schedule and structure your days. I don't know how easy it is for you to get discouraged when things don't work out the way you had planned. But I do know that without a plan for skipped days, you're going to find it very, very hard to keep going. This is where we lose people. Whenever I do Bible studies, I always caution people, stay with us. Figure out a plan for what you do if you get behind and work the plan and give it a chance to help you so that you can stay in the game and that we don't lose you halfway through the study. God has good things to say to you, whether you're reading day four on day four or whether you're reading day four on day 16. I can promise you he's going to speak to you. So those are my two warnings when it comes to reading the scripture. We are wrapping up the Grace Book series quickly. We only have, I think, two more weeks to go. So I hope that you've enjoyed this look at reading plans, and I hope that you're looking for ways to incorporate reading into your time with God. I hope that this has been a blessing to you and that this study continues to be. I don't have any handouts this week, and there's no show notes, but we'll have some more stuff starting next week, and in our final week, we'll have some fun stuff for you to download as well. May God bless your week, and we'll see you back at the next podcast. Thanks for listening. Go to BibleGirlPodcast.com to email me, download show notes, sign up for my newsletter, print the monthly scripture writing lists, and listen to past episodes. Join the Bible Girl Facebook group to get the latest podcast news and to interact with me and other listeners. I'm all over social media as Jessie L. Robinson. That's J-E-S-S-I-L Robinson. I'd love for you to friend or follow me. Join me again for another episode of Bible Girl.